So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 12, and we will start with reading text 35. When Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of Jaya, Jaya, he immediately came down to see the function. Upon seeing so much glorification of Lord Krishna, he was completely astonished. Purport. Here the word anti means near, indicating that even in the higher planetary systems, near Brahmaloka, like Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapoloka, the festival of glorification of Lord Krishna was going on. Text 36. O King Parikshit, when the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up into merely a big skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavana to visit, and it remained so for a long, long time. Text 37. Etat kaumarajam karma.
Etat kaumarajam karma.
Hare ratma hi mokshanam. Mrityo Pauganda Kebala Drishto Churvi Smita Vraje Etat. This incident of delivering both Agasura and Krishna's associates from death. Kaumarajam Karma. Performed during their Kamara age, the age of 5 years. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atma, the devotees are the Lord's heart and soul. Ahi Mokshanam. Their deliverance and the deliverance of the python. Mrityo, from the path of repeated birth and death. Paugandake, at the age of Pauganda, beginning with the sixth year, 1 year later. Bala, all the boys. Drishtvauchu, disclosed the fact after 1 year. Vismita, as if it had happened on that very day. Vraje, in Vrindavana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Vrajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. Purport. The word mokshana means liberation. For the associates of Krishna and for Krishna himself, there is no question about liberation. They are already liberated, being in the spiritual world. In the material world, there are birth, death, old age and disease, but in the spiritual world, there are no such things, because everything is eternal. As for the python, however, by the association of Krishna and his devotees, Agasura also achieved the same facility of eternal life. Therefore, as indicated here by the word Atmahimokshanam, if the python Agasura could receive eternal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are already associates of the Lord? Sakam Vichahru Krita Punya Punja, Bhagavatam 10, 12, 11. Here is proof that God is good for everyone. Even when he kills someone, the one who is killed attains liberation. What then is to be said of those who are already in the association of the Lord? Again, the text. The incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Rajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. So, we can see here that after Krishna killed Agasura, the body of Agasura became a playground or a wonderful place, sightseeing place for the residents of Vrindavana. And here in this verse, it is interestingly said that Krishna saved himself and his associates from death. But Srila Prabhupada in the purport clarifies that actually Krishna is always liberated and his associates also. He's never subjected to the laws of material nature such as birth, death, old age and disease. He's many times described as nirguna, that he doesn't have any material qualities, that he cannot also be influenced by the material energy, because he's the proprietor of this energy. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the material energy is his divine energy, and it works under his control. And although Krishna is somehow, although he's completely spiritual, still he is somehow in contact with the material nature, which is of course his energy. But if we look at ourselves, we are influenced by this material energy. We become covered by material consciousness. We identify with this material body, and we forget ourselves, who we are, and we forget the position of Krishna and so on. But Krishna, although he's also dealing somehow with the material energy, he's not influenced by it in this way. And we can understand this by the analogy of kak se reče njuhati, vonjati. Smell, yeah, thanks, smelling. We can understand this by the analogy of smelling a flower. So when a person smells a flower, he may not contact the flower, that he's directly in touch with the flower, but still he can smell the fragrance of the flower, although he's not directly in contact with it. And also Krishna, although he's somehow in contact with the material energy, he's not influenced by it, he's not directly connected with it as a person who's smelling the fragrance of a flower. And also those who are connected with Krishna, as it is said here, the associates of Krishna are also liberated, are also free from this influence of the material nature. And I was also speaking about this on Friday, that also if we come in contact with Krishna, we also naturally develop all good qualities, because Krishna is the supreme purifier. He's the supreme pure, and he's always pure. It doesn't matter. He's always in this position. He cannot change and so on. And if we somehow or other serve Krishna and try to follow the process he has given to us, we can also become pure, and we can get free from these material conditions as birth, death, old age and disease. And many times this example is given in the Shastra, that Krishna is like the sun, and the sun is so powerful that it can evaporate any kind of impurity. And still the sun, it doesn't get influenced by this impurity. It can evaporate even like urine, which is like contaminated substance, but still the sun always remain pure. And Krishna also, it doesn't matter, for him everything is easy to do. For him everything, he's always pure, and he can also make us pure. Like when we chant the holy name, it is said in the Shakshashtaka, Cheto Darpa Namarjanam, that when we chant the holy name, that all the dust that was accumulated in our heart through many lifetimes and so on, it can be completely purified by chanting of the holy name, because Krishna is not different from his holy name. And we can also see here that even a demon like Agasura, who wanted to kill Krishna, and also many other demons before Agasura, they also tried to kill Krishna. But just because they contacted Krishna, they also somehow got a benefit, although they tried to kill him. Many of them achieved impersonal salvation. And in the case of Putana, Krishna awarded her the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. And we can see that Krishna is always, as Srila Prabhupada here mentions, that Krishna is always good. He cannot be anything else. That God is good for everyone, because he's by nature is like he's like that. He's perfect, and he cannot do any mistake, or he cannot do anything imperfectly, because by himself he's perfect, and everything he does is perfect. Is good for everyone. Of course, for us and also for people in general, it's hard to understand that, you know, that how can God be all good if there's so much suffering going on in the world, and I'm suffering, and he's suffering, and because we project our material experience of ourselves and other conditioned souls that commit mistakes, that are imperfect, and so on, which and they do not do everything perfectly or good, we project this image on Krishna. We project this image on God, and we think, yeah, Krishna or God, he's doing a mistake, or he didn't do something good. It's not right that he did this or that, and so on. But actually, if we truly try to understand Krishna as he is, then we can see that every act of his is good, it's perfect. That whatever he does is good for everyone included. And we can see in the case of Putana that although she tried to kill him, poison him, he awarded her the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. Although she came to him with a completely evil desire to kill a baby, he was so merciful towards her to give her the best position, the best thing that one could wish for. Of course, there is a backside story of this, because Putana in her previous life, she was the sister or the daughter of Bali Maharaj, I don't know exactly, but when she saw Vamanadeva approaching, she felt immense attraction towards him, and she desired to become his mother. But at the same time, afterwards, when Vamanadeva took all the possessions away from Bali Maharaj, she felt that she wants to kill Krishna because he cheated Bali Maharaj. And then Krishna, in her next life, when she appeared as Putana, she fulfilled this desire of her, that she was able to breastfeed Krishna. And Krishna also then awarded her this position in the spiritual world. So we can see that Krishna, whatever he does, even if he kills the demons, whatever he does, it's good for them and everyone included. He cannot do any bad thing. It's very interesting, because we don't have normally this experience with other people. And but it's very funny that also everyone is looking for this perfect person, you know, the one who will do everything perfectly, who's always who's the best, who's the most clever, who's whatever he does is good, and so on. Everyone is looking for this kind of person, but they don't know that this person is Krishna, that this is God, that he's the most complete. He cannot do any mistake. So in Krishna also says, as Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, that God is good for everyone. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, that He is equal to everyone, that He doesn't envy anyone, or He is not partial to anyone. He doesn't have, in one sense, His favorites and so on. Because otherwise He could not be God. Otherwise He would be, as we are conditioned, that we envy someone and we like someone on the basis that, okay, I may get something from him for my enjoyment, or someone is obstructing my enjoyment and I envy him or I hate him. But Krishna, even though the souls are turning against him, that the demons are blaspheming his position and trying to defy him, He's not envious of them. He's not. He's equal to them. And also, we can see this. This is also one aspect how Krishna, when he appeared as Narsinghadeva, when he killed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu also achieved this impersonal liberation. And sometimes we just cannot also, as aspiring devotees, we cannot completely accept that Krishna is all good. That whatever he does, that it's good for us and for everyone else. Because we have our own ideas, what is good for us. And we have our own plans, how to do things. And sometimes when we suffer and when we experience some challenges and setbacks, we think, but why? I'm performing devotional service in one way. Why am I still suffering? Why am I still experiencing some unpleasant things if I'm trying to serve Krishna, if Krishna is all good and He's all merciful and so on, and so on. And I was also experiencing like this when there was this lockdown, the first lockdown during the coronavirus. And I just went home to my parents to visit them, and then this lockdown happened and you couldn't go anywhere and so on. And I was like, but why? I just came home, and then after 2 days there was this big scene, you shouldn't go anywhere and this and that. And I was like, why did they went, 2 days before this happened? Why, Krishna? Why did you do this to me? I could go 3 days after and I would stay here, And I was really perplexed, why this happened? Why this happened? And then for the next 2 months I was staying with my parents and I was really struggling and so on. But when I came here back to the temple, I got this sudden realization, that okay, Krishna showed me, what is the meaning of devotee association. What's the power of this? Because somehow, that's my experience, that you take things for granted. You live in the temple and you associate with the devotees and you eat wonderful prasadam each day and you think, it belongs to me, I deserve it. And that's just the way things are, But then when I was at home for 2 months, and when I came back to the temple, I remember I think that this was the only time I really offered obeisances when I came to the temple, to the devotees and to the deities and to the Srila Prabhupada. I really did it with all my heart, and really with a conscious effort to do it really properly. And then I realized, okay, I was suffering when I was home, no devotee association and so on, and struggling. But now I see why Krishna gave this experience to me, so that I can value what I have, that I have devotee association, that I have this process. I can see that, okay, this was a lesson for me. And also probably all of us have this kind of experience, that Krishna gives us some suffering, and then during the suffering we're just lamenting, okay, why is this happening to me and so on, and I'm a good person and everything. And then after some time, when we get out of this suffering, we're a bit more sober, then we're like, okay, Krishna wanted to teach me this and teach me this lesson and so on. But also it's important not only that we learn from this lesson after the suffering ends, but also that during, when we experience some suffering, that we try to see it through a Krishna conscious perspective, that we try to maintain our Krishna consciousness. And there is a beautiful verse in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, this Shipanchatato Shishigornitai Ki Jai. So this is from the prayers of Lord Brahma, who says that the one who is experiencing suffering, and at the same time he accepts it as the Lord's mercy, and he shows respect to the Lord and serves him with all his heart, body and words, that he becomes eligible for liberation. So the devotee, and Srila Prabhupada also in the Nectar of Devotion says that this verse is the guide for all the devotees. So this is a very, very important verse for everyone. I mean, all the verses are of course important, but Srila Prabhupada put special emphasis on this, because it's inevitable that in the material world we will experience suffering, and also as devotees we will experience sufferings and challenges. But this suffering is different because we try to turn our face to Krishna, we try to establish this relationship with Krishna. So this suffering is different. It's more, as Lord Brahma says, that one should see it as the Lord's mercy. And if we see it like this, as the Lord's mercy, if we try during this suffering that we try to be aware that, okay, Krishna is all good. Whatever he does is good for everyone, including for me. Even if I'm now suffering, then we can, if we see through this perspective, this experience of suffering, we can at that moment already learn something from it, or we can be more conscious of Krishna instead of lamenting, why is this happening to me, and so on. Because this is actually also, this suffering is also a gift from Krishna, but sometimes we just get fooled by the wrapping of the gift. We think, yo, it's not very, it doesn't look nice, you know, it doesn't look very nice, but inside it's something very valuable. Krishna is always, whatever he arranges for us is good, there is a lesson to learn from it. And sometimes we're so stubborn that we don't learn any way other than by suffering. So Krishna puts this suffering in our life in order to rectify us, in order to learn some lessons. And there's also a story about Srila Prabhupada. I mean, one disciple of his was narrating this story, how to view if the spirit, this is, I can read it, how to experience if the spiritual master is chastising someone. One time Srila Prabhupada became practically like Lord Nrsimhadev when chastising a devotee. He was so angry that another devotee who witnessed this was terrified. This devotee asked Prabhupada, what should we think when the spiritual master chastises us? Prabhupada said, you should think that you are very fortunate, because out of billions of people in the world, the spiritual master is taking the time and care to correct you. And also, similarly, if you see, that our suffering, that special care from Krishna, special treatment for our anarthas, or we can see that, we can feel that Krishna is all good, that he's taking special care of us, and that this is just some experience that we need to learn something from, that we ultimately come closer to him, that we get purified and so on. So it's very important that we see whatever experience we have through Krishna's perspective, from the perspective of the Shastras. As we can see here that Krishna, whatever he does is good. Even if he kills the demons, they get some benefit. Even if he gives us some suffering, we also get benefit. He does it with a good intention, not to harm us, not to cause us some injustice, but ultimately bring us closer to him. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Thank you very much for your attention. And if someone has any questions or comments, maybe Maharaj, if you would like to add something, or anyone else.
Yeah, in the verse that you quoted, there's one point in the verse that you quoted, Tatenu Kampam Susamitshamano Bhumjana Eva Kritam Vipakam Vidva Bhapudir Vividan Munaste Tireta Yo Bhukti Sade Sampai Daiva. Part of that verse is Bhumjana Eva Kritam Vipakam. It's not that Krishna is simply putting us into difficulty, but it's also due to our past misdeeds. Mm-hmm. That we're also, it's not just out of the blue that Krishna decided to put us in suffering, but Krishna's minimizing it. Mm-hmm. Although we deserve the electric chair, he's only giving us a pain.
Yeah, thank you for pointing this out. As also Srila Prabhupada said, gives this example of the fan, that if we pluck out the fan of the electricity, it still goes on and goes on. So thank you for adding this. Anything else? Amuna Charini, Nataka Chandrika.
I know when we are not taken as a teacher to someone, how can we approach to the person that she saw that this the suffering of his is not the suffering, it's the mercy of the Krishna. By the devotee and by the not devotees. How could we enlighten them that they are not suffering, that there's this mercy of Krishna to have them. So
the devotees and non-devotees, or what?
It's different. We know about this, but non-devotees, we cannot approach them in such a huge explanations or
everything. So it depends if the... Usually when people are suffering intensely, that sometimes they don't have... Also, of course, ourselves, we don't have the capacity to hear some philosophy or something. But I think the thing is that we try to... help them, be there for them, and also try to lightly, give them another perspective, that we acknowledge, okay, they're suffering, yeah, it's okay, you're experiencing some unpleasant things, that's okay, it's not forbidden, but that we try to ensure that we try to give them another perspective. We try to talk with them in a way, okay, well, what can you learn from this, or what's good in this, and so on. And at the same time, we acknowledge their suffering, their unpleasant things that they're experiencing. Because if you just, go directly without acknowledging their suffering, they may be like, they're defending. Also, like people on the street when we're distributing books, they also sometimes, they open up, they just tell you, I'm suffering like this, and I have this trouble, and so on. And sometimes, they just, talk for 1 minute, and then you say, yeah, it's very horrible, whatever you're experiencing. I feel you, and so on. But here is this book, here is this knowledge that can help you, that you can go through this suffering. And many times, that's my experience, people take the book, you know, because somehow they're like, you know, you acknowledge that they're suffering, but at the same time you give them the solution. You're not just sentimental in a way. You're not just like, yeah, you're going out through different difficult times and so on. But at the same time, you give them also the solution, like this. So I think the balance of these two, in my experience, works.
Yeah. I have such two persons in Harlem on Sunday, so I was talking to them, and then I saw that I could not speak so long to them. I was speaking to them for 15 minutes or 30 minutes, and I gave them the solution by the book, and to tell them that that they are good, and I told them God loves us. So that's not themselves through the
guilt.
So that they are in this position, that could help them out of this. So.
Yeah, whatever they can accept.
Thank you. Jaz sem tudi to realizacijo, ko sem tudi govoril, kako je hudo, kako nam je hudo tukaj.
Okay, premajo. So I wanted to share this realization of when you're suffering and it's hard for you.
Ko smo in da zdaj pa razmišljam, kako je šele zunaj, če ne bi imeli te milosti, da ne bi bili bakte, in da bi od zunaj dobili neke take realizacije, da bi bil konflikt, bi bilo sigurno teže to sprav sprejeti, razumeti, preživeti.
And I'm also thinking that that we have so much mercy, that if I look people from outside, if we wouldn't have this knowledge, that we would suffer more and more, that we couldn't even understand why we are suffering. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Anything else? No? Okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your lecture. Je govorila slovensko, pa
tudi prav.
Ja, se spomnim na začetku, ko sem prišla v Bhakti Jogo, ko sem začela brati literaturo, sem pač prišla do verza, ki mi je dost pomagal. To je pa verz sigurno v prvem spevu,
okay.
So, mogoče mi bo kje znal povedati.
Yeah, so when I started to practice Bhakti Yoga, I was, I think, reading the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and I came across one verse that really helped me. So this verse talks about also that when we are suffering, when we have a hard time.
Da istočasno ima dvoje, ne? Se pravi, da briše karmo, izbere taka, da imamo taka dejanja, mislim, tako trpimo, da je slično s tistim, kar smo naredili, da se karma izravnava.
So that this verse talks about that we are suffering in a way that diminishes our karma.
That we so suffering, that we that so trpimo, da se res začnemo želi, da bi se začeli obračati k njemu.
So that we suffer in a way that Krishna desires that we turn to him through this suffering.
No, jaz imam eno prijateljico.
And I have one friend.
Ki zelo trpi, že dolga leta.
She's suffering for a long, long time.
Tudi že bere, pride na sange, že kento mantra, dobiva prasadam.
She's chanting, reading, eating prasadam.
Ampak vse še ne gre, ne? Še trpi.
But she is still suffering.
In jaz si za vsak, ko malo se spušča malo pogovor, res povem, Krishna želi, da se obrneš k njemu.
And I'm always saying to her that Krishna wants that you turn to him.
Yeah, she knows this now, but it's too heavy for her to
Hare Krishna.
Zdaj, če se kdo spomne ta vers, jaz ga listam, pa ne vem,
She's asking if someone remembers this verse. I don't know. Maybe Maharaj, if you maybe know. She says, a verse from the first canto, which also talks, first or second canto, which talks about suffering and how Krishna wants that through suffering we turn to Him. No, okay. Yeah, ne vemo. We don't know. Okay.
Ali pa sem si ga zmislila, da mi je že tako da mi je pomagala.
Hare Krishna.
Želiš si pomagala.
Ok. Ja,
prvi men pomagala.
Ok, hvala. Thank you very much. Grantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, ki jaya.